I invite you to turn your Bibles back with me to Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 5, which I will be looking at. I introduce what I want to say by looking at the first two verses of Romans chapter 16. Romans 16, 1 and 2. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Centura. Now the Apostle Paul ends the letter of Romans. We were discussing Romans just recently, chapter 16. And very deliberately we were looking at some things in Romans 16, our Bible study. But he ends the letter of Romans with some illustrations of what he meant in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. We all know Romans 12, 1 and 2. Showing what is meant by presenting ourselves as living sacrifices, proving that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He's given us some examples in the concluding chapters of what he meant by presenting ourselves holy and acceptable to God. Paul gave three examples of that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And at times the Bible amazes me. We're taught that we must go back at times several chapters if we must understand the context of what the apostle is saying. Not only one chapter, but at times too, and you get the gist of what the apostle is teaching. But he gave three examples of that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. First, in Romans 15, verses 8 through 12, he gave the perfect example. I wouldn't read all of it. And he said that Jesus was a faithful minister to both Jews and Gentiles in Romans 15. Let me read a part of it to you in Romans 15, beginning at verse 8. Here we read, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister." By the way, this word minister is the word servant of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." There's a quotation from the book of Isaiah. And again, he says, "Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people." This is the perfect example of someone presenting themselves as a sacrifice to God. The second example Paul gave was himself in Romans 15. To the end, wouldn't read all of it, but especially verse 15 and 16 of Romans 15, we read here, verse 14 and 15. "And I myself also," you notice sometimes the Apostle Paul does this, he did it in Philippians, give a series of servants beginning with Christ, right, we're probably going to talk about that, as the supreme example, and then he used Epaphroditus, who was sick unto death, not really recognizing his life. But here Paul gave himself here as one who presented himself as a living sacrifice. "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God." And then the rest of the chapter, the apostle speak about himself as a servant who presented himself as a living sacrifice. But here in Romans 16, 1 through 16, the apostle gave a third example. And this time he lists many people that you read of, mention many of them by name, showing their usefulness in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul begins with a woman in the church named Phoebe. As I said before, it is not one person that makes a ministry faithful. It is a series of men and women working together in union with Christ and in unity with each other. When you are in union with Christ, we will be in unity with each other. Mm-hmm. Wherever there is this unity, it is because of union with Christ. But it takes more than one person, but a series of people. And I think that this is why Paul the Apostle bring all of these people into focus. In verse 1, the Apostle begins with this woman in the church who was useful. And the Apostle identified her and also identified the fact that she was in a church. She was not a loose cannon. She was in a church there in Centura. I commend unto you Phoebe, or sister, which is a servant of the church, which is in Centura. Jesus was a servant of God. Paul was a servant of God. And Phoebe was a servant of God in the church who proved that good an acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, even though, and you might read these names and skip over them, but I don't. Even though the references of the names of the people in Romans 16 are brief, their contributions to the ministry was not incidental. Paul took his time and called their names. He mentions 26 people by name. Two others were not named. We read of others that met in houses, including Priscilla and Aquila, of course. And if we were to go down the list of names in Romans 16, each name mentioned played a significant role in the life of Paul and the life of the church. Romans 16 can be outlined with three divisions, but I would not be doing no outline of this chapter this morning. Verses 1 through 16, there are commendations. 2nd, 17 through 23, there's a contrast between faithful and unfaithful. And then lastly, of course, which we shared last time, was the closing benediction. But I will be only dealing with the commendations of the Lord's servants. I read the text to you already, and I've spoken about this woman, Phoebe, before. And here, I would briefly say some things about her. First, her name means enlightened. And right away, we see that she was the way she was because she was enlightened. Names back then meant something. Names today don't really mean much. She's characterized with four attributes, and they're easy to remember because they all begin with the letter S. If you was to read them, you would see all four of them begin with the letter S in Romans 16, 1 and 2. Our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Centura, receive her in the Lord as become a saint. Assist her in whatsoever business she have need of you, for she have been a succorer, a helper of many, and of myself also. Would to God that we will be able to say this about all of our ladies in this church. Would to God that we, but I could say this about all, everyone in our church. But let's be realistic, brethren. These are the four words that describe Phoebe, a sister. A believer in the Lord Jesus. She's not simply a church member, but a sister in the Lord. A very intimate word. There's certain attributes that qualifies one to be a sister. And you should look at yourself and ask, if you are a woman, if you are a sister. And by the way, you're not only a sister of the church, but you're a sister of the Lord Jesus, who said, I will declare my name with a generic word unto my brethren. And brethren consist of brothers and sisters. It's a wonderful thing when you have a sister. I have a sister in this congregation. And she looks out for me as I would look out for her. And that's how sisters are. Or brothers. A sister. And Paul was not bashful to call her a sister. Second, a servant. A servant of the church. Phoebe was not detached from a body of believers. A sister has a family. But she was a servant also. Paul commends her as one that was given responsibility of carrying a letter to the church at Rome. And by the way, what apostles or pastors said about church members back then meant something. If you have a recommendation of a pastor or an apostle back then, it meant something. Today it doesn't really mean much. But back then it meant something. The word servant is the word diakonos. This, by the way, has led many churches to ordain women in the office of deacon. But that's unscriptural. Doesn't mean anything because the diakonos mean she made dust. She ran errands for the church. The Bible doesn't teach women in the office of diaconate.
Amen.
So if you happen to believe that, you need to dismiss it, Angela. Okay? If you're in a church like that, run. Has become the synagogue of Satan, entertaining Jezebel in the church. Ordinarily, wives of deacons were called deaconess, the feminine word. And that's what it is, helpers. The wife of the deacon is a deaconess. She's alongside of her husband in the ministry. She's not a hindrance, but a helper in his ministry. That's what the word really means. Paul recommend her by name and letter. She was a servant of the church, not of men, but of the church. And it's not always easy to recommend individuals with these attributes. We should have them, by the way. We should have them. We should covet them. We don't mind being called sister or brother, but the word servant is too demeaning for some of us. Serving others are for the commoners. But not for me. We should take an example from our Lord who said the Son of Man didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister. Serve. To give his life a ransom for many. That's our example. The Lord said, the one who wants to be chief should first serve. Phoebe is listed among many that presented their bodies as living sacrifices, proving that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you would only prove this good and acceptable and perfect will of God when you adhere to the first sentence in presenting yourself. You know, that comes before proving anything. The message of Romans 16 is that people in the church must be servants. Those in this chapter did not get a lot of exposure in the Bible. Their names are rarely mentioned. But we have to thank God for the Apostle Paul in showing appreciation for these individuals, and they're here for us to consider. And all of God's people should be like these people. They're not unique. They're not unique in any way when you read about them. But then a saint, the Catholic Church wait until people are dead to induct them into sainthood. Saints are not dead. They reign with Christ now. Not in the future for 1,000 years as the dispensationalists teach. Phoebe was alive. And Paul calls her a saint. You wait till she was dead. Someone who was separated from sin and from the world unto service of God. That's what a saint is by definition. I mean, you know, all of their life they're not doing God's work. They probably do gardening. They might like to plant tomatoes like Brother Frank and peppers and stuff like that. A saint is not one that live in the monastery or whatever. Like those people with those long dresses. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about people who are separated from sin unto God, and they are in a local church serving the Lord Jesus. That's who I'm talking about. Phoebe was much alive. And of course, we see the final word, which really is the word a helper. The English, old English word succorer is helper. You know, it is used in the book of 2 Corinthians where Paul quoted from, I think it was Isaiah, I've heard thee in a time accepted, and I have used the word help thee. But the Corinthians text use the word succor thee. It's the same word. But it says she was a helper to many. And the Lord Jesus Christ said the same thing. He said, inasmuch as you have done it to these ones, you have done it to me. I hear Paul use the same language. She is a helper to many and to me also. And you're not a helper of God or the Lord Jesus if you're not a helper of the Lord's people. That's all it means. And if you're a hindrance to God's people, you're a hindrance to the gospel. And we should bear close note to what these words are saying today. A helper of many. We should look at each of these attributes, brethren, first to see if we are enlightened. The word Phoebe means enlightened. And if we are enlightened, the Lord will help us to be these things. Paul is sending a letter, a recommendation of this individual. She was bearing this letter to the church at Rome. And Paul did this many times. In one case, it was Tychicus. In another case, it was someone else. But trusted people in the church. Paul not only mentions the individual, he mentions a famous couple too that we would conclude with. He mentions a couple who followed the same principle in Romans 12, 1 and 2. As a matter of fact, Paul says they laid down their lives, laid down their necks. They presented themselves, they laid down their necks for my sake. If you read on, you'll see that in the text. They were not conformers to this world. They were transformers who presented themselves. Aquila and Priscilla. I think about 4 times they're mentioned in the New Testament. Verses 3 through 5. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers. Here's the word again. In Christ Jesus. Who have for my life laid down their own necks. unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Today, you and I benefit a whole lot from this couple. We read about them in 1 Corinthians 16, don't we? I quote it for you. The churches of Asia salute you, Aquila and Priscilla. Salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Not detached from the church. Some of us have a problem with the church. What kind of Christian you is? And is detached from the church. Again in 2 Timothy 4:19, salute. This is called Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesimus. Paul mentions this woman, this couple. And one thing you can note this couple for is consistency. Consistency. He mentions them all the time in all of his letters. They were consistent in serving. Their gospel friendships, by the way, and gospel partners are very rare. Very rare. Gospel friendships are not long lasting. The slightest thing in the church disrupts true friendships. They're not rare. A minister, by the way, have very few friends in the church. They stay distant from it. I wonder why, Frank. They stay at a length from him and his wife. I'm not making out of iron. Of blood. Flesh. Feelings. Rarely are you, if ever at all, are you invited for a cup of tea. Very few friends. I've said it many times, and that's the way it is, brother. But here the apostle is denoting his friendships with this couple. And the little things that drive us apart is really nothing at all. But it takes commitment to be consistent. It's not the big things we do that help ministering servants. Can be the small things that we are remembered by. Would the Lord Jesus say that if you give a cup of cold water in the name of a prophet, you would not lose your reward? The little things, the woman saw Elijah passing and provided a table, a candle, a chair, and a bed for the prophet. God saw it fit to record that. But this man of God and this woman, indeed, someone said, I read it in a book, that the Lord do not desire great abilities of men, but just humble service from men. This is how we present ourselves as living sacrifice. So in closing, I'll just give you a couple brief points of application so that we can finish. How can you and I live in accordance to Romans 12, 1 and 2 in presenting ourselves as living sacrifices as we share with this couple and this sister? How can we be useful in the church? People walk away and say, well, how can I be useful? How can I be useful? Well, I tell you, one, by being available to God. By being available. Sometimes you and I are out there, wherever, and you ain't available. Available to make a visit right here in Brooklyn. This is where our church is. I'm sorry, Miguel, it's not in New Jersey. It's here in Brooklyn. This is where the local church is. This is where you should be available to serve God. Like I said, God doesn't desire ability, but he desires availability. You can't serve God if you're not available. Sometimes we read of athletes And I listen to them sometimes. They're benched. Somehow the courts bench them. It's just like you see this guy, a player for the Knicks. Don't remember his name. This guard, I'm sure Colin knows.
Rose.
Huh?
Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose. There, you see, this guy's familiar too. They bench him. It's not in the rotation anymore. But you always hear them say, I keep myself in shape in case that I am called upon back in the rotation that I would be in shape. And if an athlete can say this, what about me and you who are called to a greater task of being an athlete? Some of us eat and sleep and can't get to church the Sunday morning. Not keeping ourselves in shape. Paul says, I beat my body and bring it under that when I preach to others that I would not be disqualified. Sometimes I hear, oh, I can't come today. I'm tired. Yes, our bodies. No rest. 3 hours a day. Oh, in this world, we're going to be fit to present our bodies with 3 hours sleep. You know. Breaking off our necks in the middle of the sermon or whatever. We present our bodies by being available. Thanks for remembering Derrick Rose. That just went from me, man. It's just, you know, sometimes you want to say something and it just go. Yeah. But what I'm trying to show you is if an athlete can keep himself in shape that he gets back in a game, why can't you keep yourself in shape so that when you're called upon that you can say like Samuel, here am I. Well, these are very, very, very practical things I'm sharing with you today. And a lot of us, a lot of God's people have a limit on their service to God. They have a limit. A limit on love for the ministry. And a limit on love and sacrifice for God's people. You remember the song, His Love Has No Limit? His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. This should be you and me. Because of God's grace, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. His time, his service, because of God's grace, he give again. 3 times the songwriter. Okay. And some of us have a limit. And when we reach our limit, we have reached our limit. I wish I had a limit. We can only present our bodies acceptable to God or as living sacrifices if we are available to serve. As I said, if you are one who is abusing your body without the needed preparation, rest, proper diet, discipline, maybe exercise for worship and service, we're cheating. I walk 3 times a week. Sometimes it is 34. I don't walk if it is below freezing. I'm not a fanatic. But rest assured, if it is above freezing, I put on my sweats. And I've met some friends walking around. And I hopefully I'll be able to talk to them. Most of them are white. And one of them particularly, don't let me pass him. You know. But I'm waiting for the day where we can strike up a conversation together. I walk to keep my blood flowing that I can be useful to the church. Not because I like to walk. That I can study. You know. That my brain can function. In other words, I keep my body in shape that when called upon, I can be useful. That's how we present our bodies. Lastly, by being faithful to our calling. Solomon said, whatsoever your hands find to do, do it with all thy might. All thy might. It's better not to start something than to start it and can't finish it. A lot of things are brought on the table, but they never get off the table. Be faithful in your calling. A person can be available in warming the chairs of the church, but at the same time, they're not faithful to their calling. You can be available, but not faithful. So don't get confused. You're not faithful because you are attending church. We're not called to be conformers in this world, but we're called to be transformers. As I quoted yesterday to you men, 2 Timothy 4, 5, make full proof of your ministry. If you and I make full proof of our ministry, no one would have to come behind us and find fault with our ministry. Be faithful in your calling. So we can go down, brethren, the list of Romans. There's a lot of people, and if you read them and read the comments, you'll see they play some important part in the life of Paul and the life of the church. You'll see many contributors to the ministry of the New Testament church. And the church is not finished yet in her calling. She's not finished. The work of the church is still going on. The church is people serving people. Paul names some of those people. But lastly, in our context, everyone doesn't have the same calling. But lastly, we should be content. Available, faithful, content in our calling. We should be content. The list of names in Romans 16 all shared a different role. Yours may be accommodation, housing, a couple. That too. But Paul commends them all. And at the end of the day, brethren, the Lord is not going to ask me how many times I preach or what I did, but how content I was in what I was called to do. How come? Or I wanted to do something else that I wasn't given to do. Am I content in my calling? He's not going to ask me. You ask me how content I was. And the apostle did say, godliness with contentment is great gain. So I trust that this practical insight in Romans 16 is helpful to us all and give us a perspective on how we can present ourselves as living sacrifices to God. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray as we go into this session that you will be helpful to us as we utter these words. May you receive all glory and all praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.